Hello, you're watching Talking Europe, coming to you from the European Parliament in Strasbourg. Turkey and the EU have had a complicated relationship, in fact, long before the EU even existed in its current form. But over the past 20 years, the most contentious issue has been Turkey's membership of the bloc. Ankara applied to join back in 1987 and opened accession talks in 2005, but those negotiations have stalled. Some have argued for reinvigorating the accession process as the EU looks to Turkey for help in Ukraine and as the European Union shifts towards a tougher policy on migration. But there's one major catch. On the rule of law, civil liberties, press freedoms, all the things that the EU sees as its core values, Turkey has moved further away from Europe. Many members of this parliament have been appalled at the latest crackdown in Turkey and sent a delegation there in solidarity with the jailed mayor of Istanbul, Ekrem İmamoğlu, President Erdogan's political rival. Well, to discuss this prickly relationship, to say the least, I'm joined by three MEPs. Lucia Yar is a Slovak member of the Renew Europe group, and she's on the delegation to the EU-Turkey Joint Parliamentary Committee. Welcome to you.
Thank you for the invitation.
Also with me, Christophe Gomard, a French MEP from the European People's Party. He's vice president of the Committee on Security and Defence. He's actually a general and a former head of French military intelligence. Welcome to you.
Thank you for hosting me.
And also here, Evin Inchir, a Swedish MEP from the Socialists and Democrats. She's worked extensively on Middle East issues, and one of the committees that she sits on is LIBE, the Committee on Civil Liberties, Justice and Home Affairs. Welcome to you.
Thank you.
Evin Inchir, let's start with you and this vote that was held in the last plenary here in Strasbourg on Turkey and the whole EU accession process. Just maybe you could summarise for us what happened.
Well, what has happened is that we adopted a yearly report on the Parliament's stance on the relations with Turkey, and the Parliament is unified, more or less. And it's a clear signal to Erdogan and Turkey that it is on a wrong path right now.
Lucia, what did you make of the vote in the Parliament? Did it go in sort of the direction that you were hoping, or should it have gone further, do you think?
I think it pretty much covered the negotiations and the amendments that we were putting forward. For the Renew, I can also say that we're happy that topics such as you mentioned, the support for NGOs, for media, for the mayors that lost their job, that were kind of ousted by the ruling party, and especially the support for the main political leader of Recep Tayyip Erdogan, Ekrem İmamoğlu, that is still there. And lastly, I will mention the other important political figures, which are currently still for many of them months, some years, sitting in a jail as the opposition leaders, and we shouldn't be forgetting them, and this parliament is clearly not.
Christophe Gomard, you tried to get support from other MEPs recently to actually basically suspend EU's accession process.
Yes, that's why for the vote about Turkey, I vote abstention because, of course, the report condemns a lot Turkey for many things. But at the end, the report doesn't cut the negotiation with Turkey. And from my point of view, or from the other MEP's point of view, there are some troubles with Turkey, with Erdogan, because he's not really a good guy. He condemns Europe. He plays with us to send us some refugees, for example. He tries to support Russia, even if doesn't support Russia directly, but he bought some S-400 anti-missile systems. So, in fact, its own position is not really a European position, is not really a Democrat position.
That's right, why. So you abstain because the report doesn't actually cut the accession process. Evin Inchir, do you think that MEPs should have gone so far as to actually call for the accession process to be formally suspended?
I think it's important that we are hard on our criticism against Turkey and against Erdogan, because that's where the problem lays. And I think it's also important that EU doesn't continue with business as usual. However, we shouldn't become the useful idiots of Erdogan, because if we talk to the opposition leaders, Selahattin Demirtas and since 2016, been in jail, Imamoglu 2025. They are saying one thing clearly, and that is don't abolish the negotiations. Continue freezing it. Put pressure. No business as usual. But the people in Turkey wants to become a part of EU.
So, Lucia, is that correct? So that continuing negotiations, although actually they're kind of effectively frozen at the moment anyway, but not giving up completely, you think that helps opponents inside Turkey?
Certainly, as my colleague said, I would just underline what she has been saying. And it is important to show, and I think the European Parliament is showing, that we are standing behind people in Turkey, which are really hoping for democracy. But in the country where you jailed the main opposition leader, you cannot call yourself a democracy. So yes, it shouldn't be business as usual. And every time, and I said that in my speech when we talked about the report yesterday, I said that every time we talk to Turks, and we should talk to them, we should mention Selahattin Demirtas, Figen Yüksedan, Osman Kavala, Ekrem İmamoğlu, and all the others jailed, because Turkish counterparts need to speak with us and need to also understand where we are coming from.
On this idea of business as usual or not, Christophe Gomer, as a sort of defence expert, what do you think of this discussion that's happening now about maybe involving Turkey more in European defence projects?
It's not at all my idea. Turkey is not a European country, it's not European culture. It's a big country, yes, we have to discuss with them. It could be a partner, like in the NATO organisation. But to defend Europe, it's not a European country. So we have to decide to defend ourselves by ourselves. Turkey, in my mind, for example, strikes the Kurds, strikes the helps the Azerbaijans against Armenia. No, it's really not really a threat at all. That's why it's not a part of our common European defence. That's my idea, of course.
You've talked about the incursion into Syria, for example, by the Turkish military. Do you think Turkey is kind of going against European interests there, Vinicius?
Well, I would say that we might have different approaches to the situation. In Turkey, I would say that Turkey should be able to one day, when Turkey is a fully fledged democracy, be able to be a part of EU when they have lived up to the Gothenburg criteria also. However, the actions of Erdogan is what is unacceptable. Striking the Kurds against the Kurds in northeastern in the Rojava region in Syria, the repression against minorities, Kurds, Christians, different minorities in the countries, going the errands of Azerbaijan against Armenia, etc., etc. So it's not about that we should not ensure Turkey to become a member. It is to ensure that the Turkey that one day becomes a member is a fully fledged democratic one.
On Turkey's regional role, though, Lucia Yar, so of course, President Erdogan says that in the light of the Ukraine war, he says European security is unthinkable without Turkey. He clearly feels emboldened in some ways. Do you think the EU can and should involve Turkey more in Ukraine diplomacy and maybe even, you know, in these coalition of the willing discussions, the possibility of Turkish troops in Ukraine and so on and so forth?
We shouldn't be forgetting that Turkey is part of NATO and it is helping to protect Europe as such, second largest army, helping to protect even France in a way. And again, I'm just going to underline what my colleague said here. We need to face them with proper question. Back in Europe, also we are having troubles with our democracy in Hungary, in my country, in Slovakia, and we are asking those leaders what's going on. We still are trying to cooperate in the defense area. Yes, building up European defense cooperation. I think we're going to have our own troubles to put it together. So until we start that and start to actually fire it up, that's where we need to focus at this moment. We will see about the Turkey, but I think especially now with the situation, like with the situation of Ekrem İmamoğlu, I think the discussions need to be really kind of paused, because this is such an important political issues that our democratic leaders just have to have a say to this?
You wanted to chime in.
We have big concern with Turkey because, for example, in the Erdogan's mind, what he wants exactly, he wants to reinstall a kind of former Ottoman Empire. And when you look at where is Turkey today, Turkey is in Libya, Turkey is in Niger, Turkey is in Syria, Turkey is in Azerbaijan, etc. Exactly the same limits than the former Ottoman Empire. That is his own goal, sorry. That's why I'm not sure at all that he's able to discuss with us European countries to defend European member states. That's why, yes, it could be a partner if it becomes a democratic country, but it's not a democratic country for the moment.
Just a final, Evan, I did want to ask you, because you did have this delegation visit to try to see Ekrem İmamoğlu, but you were kept outside the prison walls. How do you assess that visit? Do you think it achieved much, looking back on it now?
Well, we, as a part of European Socialist delegation, went to Turkey in the end of March to try to meet İmamoğlu. When we arrived to Turkey, we were noticed that our application was rejected. Of course, that is unacceptable that it was rejected. We went to the prison and stood outside the prison and continued showing solidarity. And I think it is important that we continue showing solidarity. The same day also, when we arrived in Turkey, we got to know that a Swedish citizen, a journalist, Joakim Edin, was imprisoned also. And Joakim needs to be released immediately.
We'll end it there. Thank you so much to all three of you. Thanks to my guests, Evin İnçer, Lucia Yar, and Christophe Gilmer. Thanks for watching us here on Talking Europe.